It's Thursday the 4th of August. Welcome to episode 92 of Digital Outbox. Hello and thank you again. I'd love to say I'm on my own because I've got somebody who's been very annoying trying to put me off for the last 2 minutes. Hi, Chris.
Now you know what it feels like. Hello.
I've never put off anybody.
The listeners never get to hear the ones, the aborted starts.
No, I never record those. Funny that. So how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. A bit rainy today, isn't it?
It was very, very wet this morning.
But all is busy in the tech world.
There's loads. And I've just realised that my mic stand thing is actually squeaking.
It does squeak. Yeah, it sounds like an old chair.
sounds like my back did this morning.
It's the age thing.
Don't get me started about age. Anyway, there's lots of what I thought they were quite interesting stories.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. We've got our sort of regular hacking stories, regular government screwing us up stories, and the rest. It's all good.
To steal one of your quotes, let's crack on.
Let's crack on.
So, police have charged a Scottish team over the soccer attack. The soccer attack, if you hadn't listened to last week's podcast or you've been buried head in sand for the last 4-8 weeks or whatever.
Where have you been?
So this was Lulzsec attacking a number of prominent websites around the world, and one of them was the Serious Organised Crime Agency, aka SOCA.
When we say attacking them, it was a denial of service attack, right?
Yep. Oh, that squeak's really annoying me. I feel like I should go and get some oil right now.
Well, why don't you just stop moving your microphone?
No, I like to move. It gives me a feeling of importance. I can move my mic. Well, I spent 100 quid and a bloody boom. I'm going to damn well use it. Anyway, the police have been investigating Lulzsec and who's behind it. And I think they've arrested somebody down south. They interviewed somebody else down south. And then they reckon they've got one of the kind of main, he was the kind of mouthpiece for the organisation. So the online nickname of this guy is Topiary. And it's allegedly, it's an 18-year-old from the Shetland Islands.
Yeah, and all these characters, surprise, surprise, not into their 20s yet so far.
No.
So, yeah, you could kind of tell that from their tone of their voices in their emails and stuff. So someone in Scotland, out in the middle of nowhere... Was
just to point out, Shetlands is like way up north. It is like middle of nowhere. The guy lives in a hut.
Yes, but he probably has a better broadband connection than I do.
Everybody has a better broadband connection than you do. So,
yeah, there's not much to say other than this is allegedly, everyone's saying, you know, if these guys are as good as they say they are, then who's to say that these, you know, they weren't porting misdirecting, shall we say, but we'll see.
No, and he's out on bail. He's not allowed to use internet. He's not allowed to ask anybody else to use internet on his behalf. I think it was the Guardian podcast I was listening to. It was basically they should just give him dial-up from 10 years ago and that'll probably put him in a worse position than this kind of ban has. But there is a couple of articles that say that this is all a spoof. It's all the evidence pointing back to him has been fabricated, and the real guy is some Swedish guy. Time will tell.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Time will tell. Whoever's been running it and blagging their mouth off about it, well, I guess they know that it's a serious thing they've been doing. So maybe this will become a bit more realistic. Well, put a bit of reality back into them.
Staying in court. BT have been ordered to block links to Newsbin.
Surprise.
Newsbin 2.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. BT, who put in place, blocking tools for, I think it was child porn and things like that, have been asked to use that.
It was only for child
that's
porn.
That's it. So they've been asked to use the technology which is there for that particular reason, to block. We can't really call it a legitimate site, but a site that's nothing to do with child porn.
No. So Newsbin 2, if you aren't aware of what it is, the original Newsbin is a, I guess it's a searchable index pointing back to content that you can download from newsgroups.
Yeah.
So it pulls together NZB file, or it gives the NZB files, which then point to the headers in the newsgroups that allow you to download anything. I don't know, Usenet's full of basically everything. You know, and it's 99% of it is copyrighted. You know, so there's no way you think you can. I know people are running around still saying, oh, there's legitimate uses and I can get my Linux distributions and all that good stuff. But if you've joined Newsbin, you're really there for one reason only, and that's to download movies, music, TV programs.
Yes, I would agree.
That's
Newsbin, the original Newsbin, disappeared a while back for that very reason. They got taken to court. Newsbin 2 took over and were a kind of a much more shady operation. And you not an operation you can put a name to, really. Hence the reason, I guess, they're going for these court orders to block ISPs from actually allowing you on from, you know, from the root of your connection. It's obviously, it doesn't go down well, though, does it?
Well, for me, it's not important what Newsbin carries. It's more the precedent that's been set by, this is the first time an ISP has been ordered to block access to such a site. Who knows what's next?
Yeah.
You know, pirate sites, etc.
Who puts that level as well? And who decides what should be blocked and what shouldn't be blocked? And yeah, so who makes those decisions and how flexible are they and do they move and all those kind of things? You know,
no, there was as points of clarity, everybody assumed it would be this child porn blocking engine that's in place, that's what they'd use to apply the block. On the BBC website, a couple of days later, they tried to clarify it, and seemingly the blocking mechanism, they're not sure yet whether it will be used, and there's also no process in place about how they will check to make sure it's actually working. So there's some debate around how technically BT can do this. There's also a question about why BT, why not others? But the assumption is that because this has now been passed in law and it applies to BT, it hence applies to all major ISPs.
Yeah, because I mean, this is case law now. There has been there's no reason why it would only be BT. So if you're BT, you don't want to be seen as the only one who is blocking sites like this, because otherwise people will migrate. People who do want to use the service for whatever, they'll migrate away because it's a competitive advantage almost.
Absolutely. And just a kind of side note, Brian, who's our good friend Brian, he'll be driving along thinking, another name check. He tweeted up, who's stupid enough to use BT? Which I thought was a fair point.
Sounds fair enough, yeah.
But a couple of days later, the Guardian had posted up the UK broadband market share, and BT's got 29% of the UK broadband market share, so it's...
The biggest, is it the biggest slice yet? It is the biggest slice.
It is. So, Virgin's next in 21.
So there you go.
Talk, third, 21. Sky, 16. And then it's then just small percentages, O2, Orange and others.
30% of the UK are stupid enough to use BT, basically.
Absolutely. And numbers-wise, I mean, it's a fair old, I mean, that's 5.8 million customers. Or in Brian's words, 5.8 million idiots. Using BT.
But the number of people actually using Newsbin and news services like that, you probably count them on a couple of hands, you know.
I still think, I remember years ago people used to joke, I think we even said it in the podcast, don't talk about the newsgroups.
Don't let anyone know about the newsgroups.
Yeah. It is the more underground way of getting copyrighted material. I think it has become more prominent. There are certain websites, you know, I remember Lifehacker did some posts. I think Gizmodo and Engadget have done posts about how to use it. So I think it has become more common. But certainly amongst my, you know, if I look at my kind of co-workers, I said co-workers, how American? But if I think of my co-workers, apart from probably Shaq, I don't think anybody else is newsgroup, mate. They'll torrent. Torrent's easy.
Yeah.
Torrent feels like I'm not having to do anything too hard.
But they have pretty much killed torrenting, haven't they? They send out letters now as part of the course, and
I've never had a letter. Have you, Chris? Moving along.
Someone was using my open Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
They're still in the wording. They're still talking about how much money they're going to put back into the system from stopping and scuppering all these hackers, but it's just not going to happen. So they reckon it's going to make them loads of money, but it's just not. So there.
So just less than 1 week later, Vince Cable has made some announcements yesterday. So this is UK proposing changes to copyright and website blocking rules. So this is a kind of two-part story. The first part, if you remember back to last year, the Digital Economy Act, and you remember Fergal Sharkey, he was like cock-a-hoop at the whole, we're going to be able to block websites, this is fantastic, you know, and it's a real step forward.
Yeah, we've got the tools we need now to scupper all those.
It's going to be in legislation and all that kind of stuff. Well, surprisingly, Vince Cable announced yesterday, and this is still a proposal, but the government wants to drop that part of the legislation. So the ability for, to have in law that ISPs must have the facilities to block websites that are hosting copyright infringing material, that is now being dumped.
They've now got case law that does all the job for them.
Because case law does it. We don't need this anymore. But obviously, UK Music, which is headed up by Fergal Sharkey, is enraged at this, just because it now means that if they want to do anything, they have to go to court and engage lawyers and pay some money.
And have due process. That's the end of the day. That's the due process.
I think that's the key bit. It's due process, but I hope it's due process with people that are technically able to answer the questions properly. Yeah. So you think about how many times before things have gone to court and you hear the arguments coming out, it's very, very dubious arguments. So that's one bit of it. I was quite surprised that that's happened. But again, as you said, they've got case law there that takes care of it and they can just drop it away and it's less heat for them.
Got case law which says that you've got to block this site, then you need that blocking technology as an ISP before you can actually comply with that case law.
Absolutely. So it's very, very murky. The second part of it is the copyright changes.
Now, this actually sounded sensible.
Yes.
Hold on to your hats, yeah.
And it's funny because I've had this argument with people at work who don't torrent at all. And I have pointed out to them that up until now, if you do rip your own CD, you're breaking the law, which I get laughed at.
Yeah, if you put your CD onto your iPod, that's it.
There's one guy in particular who's whiter than white. I've never downloaded anything dodgy at all. I buy my CDs, then I rip them. I'm like, you've broken the law. No, I've not. Yes, you have.
If you ever play your CD with someone else listening, you're probably breaking the law.
Absolutely. Well, it's all that. But anyway, that's for another day. But these changes, it's basically updating UK copyright law so that if you have bought a CD, and DVDs there still seems to be some doubt about, but I can't believe they'll just do CDs only. But if you've bought a CD, DVD, then you can rip the content for your own personal use.
Huzzah! Hooray! There are going to be limitations and caveats on that. But in general, if you buy a CD and want to put it on your music player or your iPod, whatever you got, you are now, well, this is proposed that you will be allowed to do that. So, as they pretty much said, we're only bringing the law in line with what 90% of people are doing anyway. On that front, then we just need 90% of people to use Newsbin, and then we'd be allowed that as well.
Happy days. But this just brings into line with America and a lot of other European countries. We are massively behind.
Yes.
When it comes to actual, copyright laws.
We are.
The bit that sounded dubious was his quotes around figures. Bringing the laws more up to date to have a proper balance which allows consumers and businesses to operate more freely, but at the same time protect genuine creative artists and penalise pirates. The business secretary said the economy would benefit by $8 billion
Where's
over the next few years by updating the legislation. And I don't get that. So
maybe $8 billion less in, what do they call it? Oh, crikey, I've lost my word. Move on.
The one part that could be very interesting is they also want to update basically fair usage and reuse clauses. So things like fanfics and remixes, you know, bits that take, you know, maybe a bit of other TV content and reuse it in YouTube. It no longer is easy for a copyright holder to just say, pull that down, that's using my copyright.
Because there was the famous Hitler movie clip that everyone keeps redubbing and stuff, but every time that the original copyright holder sees one, they chop it down, even though it's brought more, probably been watched more than the actual original movie.
The one that you is given an example of is Newport State of Mind, and instead of that, New York State of Mind. If you saw the YouTube video, it was very well done, but they had a takedown put against them, and away it goes. So it's not on YouTube, but you can go and Google it and find it on the internet.
There's some fantastically creative things out there that do get pulled, and probably for fairly good reason sometimes, but other times it's got, you know, just because it's got a music track in the background or something, you know, that it gets whacked down. But good.
I'm just loving that you had fantastically creative things out there that get pulled along the one sentence.
That's because you've got a one-track mind.
Fnarf. Smartphone watershed in the UK. We're in historic times. And this made my blood boil this morning, I tell you. I know I should get out more, but this made me so annoyed. Ofcom have done a bit of research, and basically for the first 6 months of the year, smartphone sales have outstripped regular mobile sales in the UK.
Which isn't surprising, other than the fact that that means there's a lot of teenagers with a lot of money out there.
There are, and there's a lot of adults. And adults means me and you. I know that's kind of a dubious thing, but there's a lot of people are now, and it's what they're talking about is things like Facebook, Twitter are all driving this demand for a smartphone. And Facebook's still the most popular. Well, it's just because there's so many people on it.
Yeah, with that many people, you know, I'd say for a lot of people, Facebook is the internet at the moment.
Absolutely. And it also discussed how there's a huge boost in smartphone sales, and there's a 67% increase in mobile data use. And the mobile operators are saying, don't worry, we're fine. Coping with this enormous demand, and it's like, yeah, you're coping by
by stopping everybody down.
All you had to do was look at Shaq's tweets earlier this week. He was in a rage. Made me lol. But the bit that annoyed me this morning, I was eating my bowl of Frosties, I was watching breakfast BBC, and they were talking about smartphones and how invasive they are and how they're ruining the family. So then they've got this puff piece, and it's like, you know, the blonde attractive mother and the kind of geeky trendy looking father and the two sons sitting there, and the woman's going about, oh, it's so invasive, you know, we'll be eating our meal and I'll be checking Facebook, and then it cut to the guy and he went, oh yeah, it's like having a computer all the time and you don't need a laptop and it's great, I can do all sorts, but it does get in the way. And then it went cut to the son who was watching a video on it. And I'm sitting there saying, be a parent.
You know, yes. You know, it's like TV's really killed music hall, you know.
it was just the fact that they kept going back to the mother was the worst. Kept going back to her, and she was, it's so disappointing how invasive it is. And then pictures of her like checking Facebook. It's like, but it's your choice. The phone didn't make you, you know, go and do that. Oh.
I'm sure there are people that find it very hard to disconnect themselves, though. I certainly don't have that problem, as people who try to ring me often find out.
unless you're podcasting.
Well, yeah, then they seem to ring all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So the reason I thought it was worth mentioning is we have a couple of app stories, and we're always talking about apps all the time anyway. I just thought I'd put it into context. Because I remember at one point we said we're not really a mobile phone kind of podcast. We're just kind of tech stuff. But
tech has turned to be mobile phone, basically, hasn't it? It's definitely...
Mobile is the way.
Yeah, it's not really been a sharp right-hand turn. It's been on the horizon for a long time. But the coolest things in tech, generally speaking, are all about mobile now.
I've spent over £500 in apps.
Wow.
I know.
Good going. I've probably spent about £5.50.
You're an Android user, aren't you?
Yes, we'll come on to that in a bit.
BBC. So BBC in the UK has got its iPlayer, and it's now launched its global iPlayer app, which has caused a bit of controversy. Do you know the background to this?
No. Well, I know the story-ish, you know, that we've released it, and it's actually listing back catalogues of series rather than, it's not just a catch-up service, so it's not just the last 7 days, which is what the BBC iPlayer is for UK residents. It is a catch-up, and you pay a certain amount per month, and you can, say, watch Fawlty Towers, but say not just the ones that have been recent. You can watch whichever episodes you want.
That's it. And a little bit of controversy is people in the UK want that as well.
We can't, yes.
And we can't.
But then again, we get a heck of a lot for free. So I say free, absolutely, for our fee. So maybe we should just concentrate on that. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe this leads the way. I mean, maybe they feel that they can't charge UK residents anymore because of the license fee. Maybe there's licensing issues around that.
I did wonder that, but I'm sure I can go into iTunes and buy BBC programmes.
I think you can, yeah.
Mm.
Don't know.
Confusing. Anyway, well done, BBC. Amazon App Store. Now, this is the one that you said when we had a little chat, and I was getting all annoyed. And I know I'm not going to get as annoyed now.
Yeah, we want to rebuild the rage.
This was a blog post from the week. Amazon App Store rotten to the core. And basically it was from a small software house, and they were taking you through the whole how the Amazon App Store works. Chris right now is playing a violin. See if this happened to him, he'd be such a whiny bitch about it.
Right, we'll come on to this, but we'll see if it happened to me. They did it to themselves.
See if this happened to you, you'd be such a whiny. Anyway, so basically. They got a mail from Amazon saying, we want to, and the way the Amazon App Store works is Amazon sets a price, and also they can decide to give your app away for free. So they sent them an email and say, yes, we want you to do this for free. And there was an email exchange back and forward, and the day came, and the guys put orders up, you know, so you can see orders and sales, you know. So on the 22nd of June, no sales. 23rd of June, 2 sales. 24th of June, 2 sales. 25th of June, 14. And it's a bit odd that there's a little spike before it, which made me think, is this Amazon guys testing it or something? 26th, there was 20 sales. And on the 27th, when it was actually free, there was 101,491. No sales, just downloads, which would have generated them $54,805, but obviously it didn't generate them anything.
But basically, they got, I mean, I think it's another story that took a little while to fully develop. They got asked whether they wanted to appear as a free app. They asked whether they were going to get any money for it. They weren't. They knew that before they said, okay, we'll do this. It was an experiment for them to see what would happen if they put themselves forward. Now they know what happened. Everyone downloaded it.
But they get buttered up as well by seeing there's a whole bubble effect from, if we do put you in as free, we'll also promote you in the subsequent weeks, and we'll make sure that you're getting, you know, that kind of promotion, so you do get sales as well. So there's a spike, but you should get a nice bubble. The same way as you see it with Angry Birds. Angry Birds has got in there and it's never left the top 10. It's just permanently top 10.
Yeah.
But so I guess the bit that stinks for them is their app's called Pocket Casts. So it's all about getting podcast feeds and getting podcast content onto your Android device. It relies on a server to parse these feeds, and unfortunately, because of these new users who aren't paying for anything, they've had to buy some more hardware.
Well, then say sod it, we don't really care about these users anyway, and pull your service. So to call a service rotten to the core just because they asked you whether you wanted to go for free, you said you did want to go for free, and then
that wasn't their only beef. But come on, that wasn't their only beef.
Well, go on, what's the other beef?
Review times are up anything, yeah, up to 2 weeks, which is similar to iOS. Amazon gets to set the price of your app. So if you're, you know, there's, so with no input from you at all, they'll set the price. They're rewriting the description so that they've got things like add up to 100 podcasts. They've no idea where that came from, where they've got the number from, because nobody from the company ever said that. So somebody at Amazon has written a description of the app. They don't provide error reports. The payments are later. It's US only, so you're not getting that worldwide release. There's no real sale time information. And also, you can't just remove the app from the store. You have to ask them for permission via an email.
Yes, which does. I mean, I guess they're...
So as a whole, I just think that, you know, so yes, the Amazon stuff got a lot of good press when it came out.
It was supposed to be the solution.
It was a great way of promoting.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the solution to... It was supposed to be the solution to the Android store, which is a free-for-all, effectively, and therefore things get lost, which has improved along the way, actually. So there's less need for an Amazon store. But Amazon, yes, is a separate app store, which with the idea was that it would be vetted by people, by Amazon, before getting put out there, and things would get recommended.
It was almost Android's iOS store.
Was that?
And the same way Apple go through that whole process and vet and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, so that was the idea behind it. And so so it just sounds a bit like this developer tried something, didn't work out, and just is bitching about it.
He is bitching about it, and he did try it, but I think it's I still felt for them. I felt for them the same way that I think some of the way the Apple guys have been treated, Apple developers have been treated with the iOS store.
But the thing is, they're doing the same thing. We're telling the music industry they can't, which is they're looking at, and this is in fact a good example for the music industry, right? When they were charging for it, which is $1 something or other, they had two sales, 14 sales and 20 sales. We've already said that some of those will be people just checking that it works on the app store. The day that they didn't charge anything, that's 101,500 sales. So they've equated that to nearly $55,000 of lost earnings. But that's not right. It's about $10 worth of lost earnings, because that's what they would have sold had they not given it away for free.
And I don't think...
my lesson.
No, if I go back to the post, I don't think they actually said that we've lost $54,000 worth of sales. I think it was more that they knew they wouldn't get those sales. It was more the bubble didn't happen afterwards. And also, the reason I'm chuckling is I'm just reading back to the... In fact, Amazon decided to rub Sony wins a little further by discounting it up to 99 cents for a few days after the free promotion.
Yeah, to have no input at all on price does seem a little bit... Like, as in, you could spend hours and hours... Well, you could spend months developing something that then they give away for 99 cents, which seems a bit weird.
Your whole pricing model might be, you know, a small amount of customers, but it's a great product that they're going to spend $30 on.
Well, Slingbox.
And Amazon say... Nope, 99 cents.
Yeah, my Sling Player app.
My Sling Player app costs
$20 or something like that.
Yep.
But yeah, if that got given away 99 cents, I'm sure Slingbox wouldn't be very happy.
No. I'm sure it wouldn't happen. I'm sure this is just a big bully taking advantage of its position.
I've never used the Amazon App Store. It's American only, so it doesn't really bother me anyway. Meh. I'll put my violin away now.
I never heard it. I mean, I had some violin music in. Trojan risk for Android phones. Now, not being an Android user, I was rather dubious about this whole story, which is why I wanted to put it in.
Yes,
but you know far more about this, so I'll let you take.
Well, no, so basically, there has apparently been an app that's got onto people's phones, which effectively can record all your conversations that you're having via the phone, store it in memory, and potentially that could then be available to the writer of the software. Now, when you install apps on Android, you get warnings about what the app, you know, the APIs that it will be using, and therefore what kind of functionality in your phone it will be using. And in this case, clearly that includes I can intercept your phone calls. It all sounds quite dramatic from the outside, but then a load of, you know, even small, relatively insignificant apps ask for a lot of permissions, and you can kind of see why they do, but you get a bit blind to it after a while. So you tend to give away permissions a little bit easy on the Google, the Android phone. Whether it's bogus or not, I guess we don't know. It does definitely hurt the image of Android, though, because it gives you a bit of an uncomfortable feeling, I guess. So it's for that reason alone, you should treat reports a bit skeptically, because it's very easy to push stories out into the tech world. That put people off. But who knows? I don't know the actual ins and outs of this.
And the only reason I thought it was bogus was just the whole... It was quite a bit into this article from The Guardian. I'll post a link in the show notes. It was quite a bit in before they actually said that the app, when you install it, does ask for user permissions to intercept outgoing calls and record audio before it is installed. So you kind of know it is doing that. And I know it does a lot more afterwards.
Mm.
And it's recording it, and there was a whole load of, you know, sounds off filed in a folder called Shangjua/call record, suggesting its author is Chinese, which is a bit of a leap, but because it could be a Glaswegian guy called Shangjua, or it could be a Irish guy pretending to be Chinese. I just felt it was a bit of nothing. It's almost like when they talked about the kind of Mac malware, and it was going to explode, and there's going to be mountains of it, and we've not had that much. So moving swiftly on to my favourite lol moment of today. This is Nortel patents, hardly the most riveting of topics, but this is... So Nortel was a big, massive firm who are losing money, and they have been selling off all their assets, including, I think it was 8,000 patents.
8,000 patents.
So over the last year, lots of the big tech companies have been trying to buy these patents to either protect themselves or to use against other companies.
Because they've got far too much money.
Yeah. So Google lost out in this, and it was Microsoft, Apple, and a number of other companies all bidding as a cartel that won this this particular patent set. Now, although Google, at the time it seemed Google weren't that fussed, because the bids that they were offering were all like, you know, it was like pie they'd offered, you know, 3.14 billion.
Yeah, tiny amounts of money.
No, but they were being flippant about which numbers they used. It wasn't just like, well, it's 4 billion, it was, you know, 3.14 to the power of 10 or whatever billion dollars. But Google's Senior Vice President and Chief Legal Officer David Drummond put up a post on their main Google blog this morning, basically calling out Microsoft, Apple, and Oracle, saying that it's all a patent attack on Android. It really was. This is, seeing you had your little violin earlier on, this is what you should have had for it. I've worked in the tech sector for over 2 decades. Microsoft and Apple have always been each other's throats, so when they get into bed together, you have to start wondering what's going on. And then he goes on about a hostile, organized campaign against Android by Microsoft, Oracle, Apple, and other companies waged through bogus patents. But he never mentions what the bogus patents are, just says they're bogus patents that they wanted to buy, but let's not mention that. So he.
I'm going to let you finish your slant on this before I give back.
Honestly, it talks a whole load of drivel, and he's talking about how they're looking at how they try and reduce anti-competitive threats against Android by strengthening their own patent portfolio, unless we act, consumers could face rising costs. And this is a bit that winds me up. This is just typical of Google. It's like, everybody else is evil, we are not. We're great, we're doing it. It's all about consumers. I've bolded my words because they're right. Typical Google, painting themselves as a white knight in amongst these big bad companies that are out to destroy and not innovate. But it never mentions that Google bid over 4 billion for these. Not once does it mention it. That it's all about as if these other companies were all doing this, and Google weren't. Google were just innocently. The best bit about this is when a couple hours later, and this was from Brad Smith, Microsoft General Counsel, Google says, we bought... No, I've written Novell there. I'm sure it wasn't Novell, it was Nortel. Anyway, maybe it was Novell. Maybe I've just done the whole thing wrong. Google says, we bought Novell patents to keep them from Google. Really? We asked them to bid jointly with us. They said no. And I laughed out loud at that. I thought, that's just class. And then, if that wasn't enough, Frank Shaw, Microsoft Head of Communications, followed up with a real heat seeker. No, that's not my quote. That's from TechCrunch. free advice for David Drummond. Next time, check with Kent Walker before you blog, with a big smiley. And then he put a picture of the actual email that was sent. And this is almost a year ago, October 28th, 2010. Brad, sorry for the delay in getting back to you. I came down with a 24-hour bug the way back from San Antonio. Violins again. Mm-hmm. After talking with people here, it sounds as though for various reasons a joint bid wouldn't be advisable for us on this one. But I appreciate your flagging it, and we're open to discussing other similar opportunities in the future. So just to be clear, this was Microsoft asked Google to do a joint bid. So of course, you read the blog post this morning, and Google are spinning this as Microsoft and Apple and Oracle are all out to get us. Reality was, they were asked last year and they said no. Very poor. Very poor.
I think I must be a Google fanboy because I read it kind of differently. I was on their side. And okay, you have to accept that these deals are going around. But the reason for coming, you know, for the other guys buying the patents, they clearly are now cashing in on that money that they spent. Android happens to be the one that's out on a limb at the moment, but they are feeling the wrath of it. You know the feelings I have on these patents. This is rubbish.
Android, this is rubbish. And this is a bit, more and more I've thought about this, I read about it throughout the day, I think it's rubbish. Android's not on a limb. Android is like a massive, massive, you know, I don't know, 50 million activations against a really, you know, 30 million iOS. It's a behemoth. It's taking over the industry. Now Google are realising that they are and actually in breach of a lot of the patents that are out there, whether they like it or not. So it's like there's emails that have now come out from the whole Oracle Java thing, where it's, you know, some Google engineers have said, yeah, we need to either get something else or we need to license Java. So all this stuff about, you know, oh, we don't use Java technologies and, you know, we're not in breach of licenses, that all looks to be poo as well. And the thing that's being pointed out, and I've put the link in the show notes, Google are pussies, which is a really good summation of what's been happening. If you look at Android, I mean, it's been given away for free. And the reason it's been given away for free is that Google are using their monopoly in the search engine industry to allow them to try and take over another market. Who else can afford to give away something like
that? I agree. And I don't think they try and hide that away. They say our business is search. And we do everything towards that business of search, basically. And so, yeah, you're right. They're the only people that could have the cash to do something like that and give it away for free.
I obviously love what Google do. I just hate this PR spin.
Okay, I was having a go at Apple adverts today.
I don't like the Apple adverts. You know, don't sit there and go. I mean, so folk understand. Chris had posted up about the, what was it? I watched the latest iPad 2 advert, it lets vomit in my mouth.
Pretty much.
And it is sickening because it is like, you know, it's almost like iPad 2 saved my family. You know, that's...
what did we do before? I don't know.
You know, ban Android and you kill the puppy. You know, it's like... They are totally the opposite way and I don't like them either. And I hate when I see... I used to love the Mac PC adverts far more than these... sycophantic, you know, father and son having chats, or the guy in Afghanistan video conferencing back to the
doctor saving the patient.
But it seems to work.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't like the advert.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I love what Google do, but I hate this idea that they're not some sort of big evil company. Well,
the one truism is him pretty much saying we're all going to destroy ourselves in this litigation unless we can find a way through it. And I think that's true. Effectively, you know, they've got to find a way through this particular situation, which is now going out to buy patents just so that you've got them in your back pocket. It's like an arms race that no one wins out of it, especially not the consumer.
But that post would never have happened if Google had won that bidding war. They would have been sitting there thinking, that's us, fine. Because I've lost, it looks like they've now went to US government and says we need to change this.
Yeah, I wonder though, yeah. It's funny, they would never have went
to the government. If they'd won that, they would never have went to the government and say, we've won this, but we need to change. That would have been a real do no evil step. That would have been like, wow, that's really good.
I mean, again, it must be that I must be some sort of fanboy and not impartial, because I do believe that I'd prefer these things in their hands. They've proved a fair few times that they are willing to invest in things and take on patents just so that they can't be used against them, kind of thing. So we'll see. I don't know. I think I prefer them in their hands than anyone else's.
I agree. See if it was a sliding scale, I'd probably put them at the top all the time.
Yeah.
And amongst all the big companies.
But you're saying that sliding scale isn't like top and bottom. They're all of them are right down the bottom. It's like this micro.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, fair
pretty
enough.
Pretty much. But I trust Google more than I trust Apple, more than I trust Microsoft, more than I trust Facebook. There's a kind of order.
I think that's the same most people's order, that one. Yeah.
You know, Facebook is really...
Yeah, you don't want them having their patents, do you, really?
Or acquiring all these companies.
No.
So Pushpop Press... Which was, I think I made this my pick,
did, yeah.
I talked about
yeah,
it. Spot Press made this wonderful iPhone and iPad book called Our Choice. So Al Gore's Our Choice. And it was a great interactive book. They talked about how they wanted to use it as a service. Other people were coming on board. They did a TED talk about it. So the guy, the main kind of lead developer on it or owner of the company was a chap called Mike Matas. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, or Matas. Don't know. So I was quite surprised that Facebook have actually bought Pushpop Press.
Well, it all went very, very quiet after these big, you know, this big announcement and release of this new publishing way of going about it. I mean, they never tried to say it was anything special. They just said it was a good way of going about it. But it all went quiet, and now they probably, because they got an email that said, right, we'll buy it. So they've been in discussions since, probably.
Yeah, and the strange thing is that they seem to infer that Facebook isn't going into, you know, ebook or digital publishing.
Yeah, so they're not going to use the technology for what its purpose was originally.
No, and the companies that they've been working with, basically all the projects have been shelved. So this is Pushpop Press. And what if there was something else? The Our Choice app. It's going to remain available for purchase, but any future profits are donated to the Climate Reality Project. So it all seems to have been shuttered, that whole... Yeah.
It's a classic case of a big firm buying in talent and not the product, basically.
Yep. And hopefully it's not to the detriment of users, because I do think that they did offer something different. I think it's something that somebody else could step in. Mike Matas just... And I had to do a bit of digging because I knew he was an ex-Apple guy, but seemingly he was one of the key members of the iPhone user interface team. And he was also way back in previous years, he was a guy behind Delicious Library, which had those very different UI to applications on the Mac. And then he joined Apple, was seemingly fundamental to some of the UI elements on the iPhone. And whether it's
this is more the reason why it's been bought, then basically,
yeah. I mean, and because some of the UI elements on Our Choice was fantastic. I just hope they don't disappear, because Facebook have bought quite a lot of teams over the years, and nothing seems
when
to,
you've got
to come
that
out,
much
really.
Spare cash. you know, you can do whatever the heck you like. You can, you know, you can have those big team players on the bench.
Maybe they need like a podcast.
Yeah, team. Maybe. Do you think?
Yeah, I think they.
It wouldn't. Cost them a billion. That's for sure.
don't sell us out too cheaply now.
Just three quarters. Yeah.
Some gaming stories, which must mean it's silly season, or that we're all waiting for September and all the good games.
As soon as summer finishes, that's when the games kick back in, isn't it?
So, PlayStation Vita. Vita. However you want to pronounce it, the new PlayStation handheld, which we poo-pooed when it was previewed at E3.
Only because it's a handheld.
Yeah. It was coming out, and I mean, hardware-wise, it looked amazing. It's coming out this year, allegedly worldwide, but now it's only Japan.
Yes.
So if you're really keen to get one, and if you are, you're mad, then you need to wait till next year, or you need to import it. Which brings me, just as soon as I read the story, I just thought back to glory days of importing PSPs and all sorts of consoles and CA Games. Anybody from Glasgow, CA Games, De Courcy's Arcade. Oh, I spent thousands in there.
Yeah,
but it was great.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, it shows how things have changed, because, you know, it's not that many years ago when this would have been a must-have geekathon. Would have been the thing to go and get. You know, playing games handheld on, you know, on what is going to be an incredible piece of hardware, and by all accounts, the screen looks amazing. You know how it all works. It's just it's no longer something that I have any inclination to go and buy.
No,
and I don't think it's just. I mean, I'm probably prime age for something like this. Even, you know, well, it's just a lot of change. A lot of change.
Speaking of change, Nintendo 3DS. So the other new handheld that we had this year. They've announced a price drop by around a third.
Oh, and that's because it's been so popular that they're able to ramp up the production. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They've sold, I know they'd sold about sort of 4 or 5 million they'd sold. which was below expectations. Nintendo's share price has been getting a kick in.
Yeah, don't forget, Nintendo, they could do no wrong at the beginning of this next generation console. They were booting it. They had the what do they call it before it was 3DS?
DS.
Yes, so they had the DS. Yeah, to take off the 3. Oh, I'm good at this. That sold massively more than I think they thought they would. The sweet spot, and so did the GameCube, and then the Wii following up.
Absolutely, and I mean, I'd still go back to glory days of SNES, and there's been a whole series of consoles that's just been amazing. But I think the market's changing, so they announced a price drop of around a third. And also, if you're one of the early adopters, they're basically going to give you, I think it's 10 games or 20 games, 10 NES games and 10 Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games for free. So you can download these on their kind of digital shop service. Now, currently the RRP is 260 or 270, but seemingly retailers have been selling it for 200. And the expectation was that you'd start to see from around 12th of August prices around 130 mark. Shaq tweeted up this morning, I'm sure, that it was on sale in the UK now for 130.
So from 270 down to 130. I mean, that's a massive...
125. That's, 125.
So that's a massive, massive slash. I mean, people will think that's throwaway enough that why not? Especially if they can get 20 odd games, but they can't get 20 3D games for that. That's, you know.
And a couple of interesting stats. Nintendo, this week when they were talking about their bad performance in stock market, says, yeah, we want to really grow our what do you call them? Our shops. Digital shops, whatever they're called.
App stores?
App stores. That's
You're not allowed to be called app stores. That's trademarked, isn't it?
Hey, I'm good at this. but they said they want to do that in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
In 3 years' time, we're expecting big things.
You're going to be dead. Yeah. And EA results last week, their fastest growing platform is the iPad.
Yeah.
And consoles used to account for 80% of sales. It's now down at 40%.
That's a massive change moving in.
That's a switcheroo. And I think back to the articles when the App Store first came out, and people says that the iPhone could actually dominate gaming. And I thought, no, it'll make a dent, but not to the same extent. I just think Android and the iPhone have just shown, you know, basically smartphones have shown that is the platform. Look at the sales this year. Everybody buying a smartphone has bought a game device. It's amazing. Speaking of EA, I've almost tried to link these stories and I've failed miserably in even doing it like professionally in any sort of way or form.
No one would have noticed. I think you shouldn't have highlighted that.
No one would have noticed that I've made all these links. You cock. You absolute knob. EA launches sports season ticket. I'll hand over to you for this.
This sounds like a fabulous proposition. So only $25 a year, which granted is not very much for EA's sort of general offerings, but what does this do? Well, sounds great. You can get you can download games before their release date, and it also gives you, I think, some access to free premium content and again discounts on downloadable content. But once those early 3 days are up, it seems that you then just have to go and buy your game from on disc from the store like any other. So
what?
So you're paying for the privilege of having a go at a game 3 days before it's available, and then I guess making your mind up whether you want to actually go and play that game by buying it.
So just to get it, just to
you're
get
paying
it
for your
head.
Demos, basically.
I have to give them $25 a year
to play demos,
or 2,000 gamer points.
Yeah,
I can download it 3 days early.
Yeah,
but if I take you try to download a full size game, which might be,
it'll take 3 days,
4 gig,
yeah, you know, 7 gig, I think, for like an Xbox game, yeah,
you know, so that's going to take you a couple of days or overnight to download, and I've got to then buy the disc.
Yes, it is a glorified demo and a waste of bandwidth and a waste of your money. Stay away, kids.
And I can go to places like Gameplay and Shop 2 and Amazon, who will ship it a day early anyway. Yes. So I'm actually only probably going to get one day's gameplay out of this.
So the benefit, I guess, if you buy every single bit of extra content for all of the EA titles across all their things, then maybe, just maybe, you'll make your $25 back.
See if they'd said it was, we've got a digital shop and it lets you buy it a week early, and you don't need to buy like discs anymore. I'd have probably signed up.
Yes, for the service, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's fine. Don't need to waiting for postman. Don't need to deal with discs, all that kind of stuff. Fantastic. But that's a lot of crock.
Yes.
Only works with five games as well. So this isn't like across all their game. It's Madden, NHL, FIFA, Tiger Woods, and NCAA football. So basically that old, the kind of sports suite of games.
Hmm. Yeah, no, EA don't seem shy at the moment of putting forward anything that just charges you money. You know, the online pass that you have to buy now for all their games. And
it's online pass, and I can kind of see that a bit. I still think it's cheeky, but I can understand the feel that the, you know, game and Amazon and Asda are getting revenue that they're missing out on.
I understand
it. Still think it's cheeky.
Yeah, too right.
Still think it's cheeky. But that's a lot of crock. Honestly, that's poor.
I agree.
Maybe it's
rubbish.
Maybe we should get Duncan Bannatyne.
I think we should. Yeah, get him tweeting.
They shouldn't chuckle because the kind of threat behind this was pretty serious.
It's all quite serious, but there's just something a little bit comedic about it.
So Duncan Bannatyne is the one of the kind of stars of Dragon's Den, kind of very dry, droll Glaswegian. He always thinks kind of semi-drunk, but seemingly he's not. He'll probably actually send his heavies round now that I've said he's a drunk.
Don't say anything.
But so there was a Twitter user, Yuri Yasilyev.
Very good.
Who seemingly is based in Russia, and he tweeted Bannatyne 3 days ago, "I'm looking for £35,000 investment to stop us hurting your Holly Bannatyne, who is his daughter. We will bring hurt and pain into your life. We are watching her. She is very attractive. Want photos? ?
A completely irresponsible and unnecessary tweet by anyone's standard, and pretty ugly.
Pretty ugly because you've got to take these things serious. You know what I mean? He's in the public eye. It's a different world to what me and you're in. If you tweeted that to me, I'd be like, what? What? Well, A, I don't have a daughter called Holly. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So he did take it seriously, but his first tweet was basically, I'm offering 50.
I'll break your legs.
Since when is he Jamaican? So basically, he tweeted that he would offer £25,000 reward for the capture of the coward who calls himself Yuri Yasilyev, but he'll double it if his arms are broken first.
Go Scotland!
Well, and maybe this is just me. I thought that was class. Yeah. I thought it was absolute class. But of course, you can't say things like that and get lots of criticism on Twitter. People started pointing out about the guy in the Robin Hood airport or whatever, and I'm going to blow it sky high. And, you know, if people are making threats like that, then he should be taken to court.
Still, I think, to be honest, though, you can't have it one way and the other. Both those tweets were pretty ugly, but I think saying you're going to hurt someone's daughter is probably a bit worse. But there we go.
Which means probably a bit worse. Of course it's worse.
Probably on the scale of things, we're a little bit wider than the niceties of companies.
I think when most people, if you start them to threaten their family,
they're going to
react.
Get angry. And it's almost a shame that he has to hold back his thing, but you shouldn't really offer money to break someone's arm.
So he ended up deleting it, and he says £30,000 reward for info leading to this guy's
arrest.
That
sounds much more like a police statement, doesn't it?
Yeah, but he then said they've tracked the alleged criminal to an internet cafe in Moscow. They've got the IP address and all that kind of nonsense.
And, now
and it was class.
Run home and hide, you little coward.
Now, seemingly, he has involved the police. In fact, that was his quote, wasn't it? "My people are getting closer to you every minute. Run and hide, you little coward in Moscow.
Go home to
and hide.
Cry.
Yeah. Go, oh, that's it. Little boy." But the police are now involved, and I've told him not to stop tweeting. Because he's making it worse.
Right.
That's our news. Well done, Duncan Bannatyne, but I do think he's a complete knob, but well done for that. Picks this week, I have none.
Oh.
But thankfully, Chris is holding up the fort.
And I'm not really. This is a kind of, what should we call it? The ghost of Shaq coming back on the podcast.
Return of the Shaq.
Let's not do that again. But everything, no. I can't help it. It's in my head right now. Right. So he tweeted out, it was a little while back now, probably over a week ago, about this fantastic little plugin for Firefox called Tilt. And effectively, the plugin goes and looks at a website and it converts it into a kind of 3D stack of all the div elements that it's made up of. Now, this all sounds pretty sad and Muppetish to most people, but to a developer and to someone who knows about websites and put them together, it's a really quite funky way of looking at our website and how it's put together. And it could be a good debugging tool. I've never used it as such, but effectively it turns the web page into this 3D model and you can tilt it around and see how the innards of it are put together in a kind of diagram form. It's fantastic.
It is very good.
You can go and have a look at it if you use Firefox at blog.mozilla.com/tilt and go and have a go. Firefox now the third most used browser in the UK.
Chrome number two. Chrome
took
it?
Over. But it's
good old Chrome. I love Chrome.
Those Google guys.
Oh, it's honestly Chrome. I just wish more people. I can never understand somebody because there's a couple of guys that work like, oh, Chrome really slow, and it's like, well, you've done something wrong.
Oh, have you seen the new Chrome? The instant on function from the search engines.
Yeah, because
really impressive.
I was going to add that to the show notes, and I forgot.
So now, whenever you search on Google, if you've got the latest version of Chrome, it will effectively pre-render the first page in the background. So when you click on it, it's straight there.
And I think that's. Fantastic.
It's all right as long as you've got bandwidth to spare.
I think that's fantastic. even a video I loved, and I think the video was a bit set up and a bit spoof, but you know, the searching for, I think it was at White House they searched for.
I can't.
And on one side it's not installed, another side it is, and they go White House, and the Google search results come back, and then they click on it, and it's like 10 seconds, and in the one new instant it was like zero. It's there.
But yes, if it really took 10 seconds in the background, then yes.
And just as we're doing old news stories, I meant to actually say about the hacking side of things and Heather Mills and seeing when she's going to see the mirror over the phone hacking. I wonder who will foot the bill for this. Anyway. You have nothing to say.
Hop along.
See, she wants to go to the Olympics. No, I'm being serious.
I thought it was another punchline coming. I think.
She's wanting to go to the Paralympics and the ski team.
Right. Not in London 2012.
No puns needed. No. Anyway, that's our picks done. That's our news done. That's our show done. If you want to find out more, and who wouldn't? And the website's www. Tell you what, that is the biggest kind of nod you've ever seen. You'll find us at www.digitaloutbox.com. Please email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on the Twitters and we're on the Skypes as Digital Outbox, although we don't use Skype anymore. It's all about Google Hangout.
We're hanging out, man.
Chris.
I am on Twitter as CheesyUK.
So you can find all about his vomit-inducing iPad 2 adverts and more. I am on Twitter as Shweepa, which I'm sure is clear and obvious to everybody. Yes. And my website is END.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I got the impression you were going to tell me that I'd forgotten something.
No, it's Very good. How did it feel to be back in the driving seat?
Scary.
Yeah. Lots of responsibility. Yeah, you have to know the stories and stuff.
Yeah.
As I keep proving.
I did like your going to break your legs.
who knew I had it in me, eh? When I listen to that back, I'm going to cringe, I am sure.
You are.
Yeah. In my head, it sounds brilliant.
Yeah.